Good day, friends. We're glad to have this opportunity of coming into your family circle once again with a program based upon what the Word of God has to offer. You know, it's an interesting thing when you look at the teaching of the Word of God to find how well it can be viewed and studied and meditated upon. We've often thought, and we've told you in past broadcasts, that David was certainly a master on this, for the book says that his delight was in the law of the Lord, because in that law did he meditate day and night. We want to begin a series today that we're simply going to call a home Bible study series. You know, there can't be anything any more gratifying than to have the opportunity of coming to a family circle and sitting down with, well, perhaps a husband and wife, or it might just be one individual in the family, young in years or older in years, with that person taking their Bible, and also, we might say, we taking our Bible. You know, I remember some years ago out in eastern Kansas having an opportunity of going to home, and when I went to the home, I left my Bible in the car, not knowing whether the people would want to talk about the Bible, but thought if they did, that surely they would have a copy of the text. If I need to go and get it, I could go get it. But I found it quite interesting to enter into a discussion of the Bible with the husband of that family, and we sit down to the table together, and I said, "Now, Jim, my Bible's out in the car, I'll go and get it, but how about us using your Bible, sitting side by side here at the table, and I'll read one scripture and you read another scripture." One of the most interesting sessions I can ever remember engaging in my life was that study in that very modest home in the hills of eastern Kansas. Well, it's an interesting thing when we look at the Bible, because we understand that the apostles in Acts 5 and 42, in the face of great opposition, daily in the temple and from house to house, ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The one-on-one situation for home Bible study is probably one of the most effective ways to get the teaching over, to answer the questions, and to enter into comment with other individuals. You know, I find it to be true, and I'm sure you do too, that many people will go to a church building, may participate in a class discussion, but many, many times there are people who will not participate, either feeling that, well, maybe the questions they'd have in mind would be too elementary, or maybe just somewhat being awed by the number of people who are there and the discussion that's going on. But when you really get a one-on-one situation in a private home talking about God's Word, then that person who in the class may not have asked a question or made a comment has many questions to offer. You know, when we begin to look at the Bible, I have a conviction that we should not fear any question that is asked us. A brother, good many years ago in central Illinois, told me as I begin as a preacher of the gospel, he said, "Now here's a good rule to follow." He said, "Don't try to be anybody else other than yourself in preaching the Word." And then he said, "If you do not know the answer to a Bible question, tell the people you don't know. You'll try to find out what the answer is." So whenever a question is asked regarding the Word of God, how difficult or how easy it might be, we do not have fear, because we know there are questions we can answer, but this always offers a challenge to find the answer in the Word of God. Now, I want to spend a few weeks in this series of broadcasts in looking at a home Bible study series. Let's take, for instance, the subject of the Tree of Life on our broadcast today. I believe that's a good place to begin. You know, the Tree of Life is mentioned first in Genesis, and then the last time that I believe it's mentioned is found in the last chapter in the Bible, Revelation 22. In the third chapter of Genesis, we have the story here of man being separated from the Tree of Life. You see, before man sinned, before man succumbed to the deception of the devil, the serpent, you're aware of the fact that he had a very definite communication with God. And then when he listened to the words of the serpent and did partake of the fruit of that tree that was forbidden, then sin became a result. His association with the Tree of Life was, I'm sure, very pronounced at the time when he was following God, at the time when he was listening to what God had to offer. God had said, you remember, that man should not eat of the tree, lest he would die. That was the tree in the middle of the garden. But there must have been other trees there. There was valuable fruit there. the tree of life was there, and also the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, you know the story, I'm sure, that you've read time and time again in that third chapter, that man finally did take the word of the serpent, saw that the tree was pleasant to the eye, that it had to taste good, and above all, that it was one that would make a person wise. And so the big lie was told by the devil, "Thou shalt not surely die." And one of the very pronounced things when we talk about the tree of life is to ask yourself the question on the broadcast today, was God telling the truth, or was the serpent telling the truth? Every time you drive by a cemetery, you think with me that this proves as a living testimony that the devil was telling the big lie. Thou shalt not surely die. And now in Hebrews 9:27, after man has sinned, that it says it's appointed once for man to die, and after that the judgment. The thing I want to key in this part of our study today is from the last three verses of this outstanding third chapter of Genesis. Now here's a pronouncement by God that man must leave the Garden of Eden. And I think he gives us a very logical and definite reason for his leaving. I want to begin with Genesis 3:22 and read the following in your hearing. "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." A man told me one time, and I believe there's merit in this view, that God did not want man in his sin to partake of the tree of life and live in a condition of sin. You know, we commit sin, but sin is also looked upon as being a state. In Colossians 1 and 13 in the New Testament, a very pronounced passage tells us when man obeys the gospel that he is delivered from the power of darkness and he's translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now the point must be brought before our mind is that man lost contact with the wonderful tree of life back in the Garden of Eden. But he'll have an opportunity of coming in contact with that tree in heaven above. Revelation 22:14 is a good companion passage as we make the contrast now from the Garden of Eden to heaven that you can tie in here with Genesis, the third chapter, verses 22 through 24. But listen now to Revelation 22:14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city." You see, when man left the Garden of Eden, and when he had committed sin, there were three things that were very pronounced in that sin. Man did not truly consider the word of God as the final decision. But he heard what the serpent had to say. Apparently he believed it, and he obeyed what the serpent wanted him to do. Sin was the result. It's an interesting factor to realize, as it took three things for man to leave God. Man comes back to God by three things. And the interesting factor about it, they're the same three things that were associated with his departure. It begins with hearing the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, as we have in Romans 10:17. So it's what you hear to begin with. It's also followed by your belief. So man, who at one time had heard what the serpent had to say and believed it and obeyed the serpent, now has the opportunity to hear what God says, to believe what God says, and to obey what God says. You know, when you're studying the Bible in a fashion like we are in the broadcast today, there's always one factor that must be brought to the mind of each student. Say, for example, that as you listen today that you're not a Christian, and you're looking with us at the Word of God from the third chapter of Genesis and also from the 22nd chapter of Revelation. And you realize that you ought to hear what God has to offer. You want to believe it, and you want to obey it. You know, the factor that must enter into the picture right now is that you must make the decision. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." But you must come. So when you believe what the Word of God teaches, then do not delay. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I was studying the Bible with a man in a church building one time. We had retreated the church building because it was not possible in his home because of his wife's work at the home for us to study there. So we were sitting there in the church building by ourselves. And I simply mentioned this to this man. I said, "When you're ready, don't delay." And at the close of the study, he said, "I'm ready right now." We were close to the baptistry. In a period of time, we took him and immersed him that very day into Christ Jesus. You see, he had heard the word, he believed it, and he obeyed it. You know, the Ethiopian in the 8th chapter of Acts had the opportunity of entering into a study with Philip the evangelist. And after he heard the preaching of the gospel, he said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He wanted to have a right to that tree of life, and Philip said to him, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Then he was baptized into Christ, and he went on his way rejoicing. We've opened this series today with a hope that it will stimulate your thinking upon what the Bible teaches. Look at these scriptures. If you have questions about them, feel free to send them in or contact your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ. The congregation to sponsor this series is in your community, and you have an opportunity of worshiping there. Be with us next time as we continue on with this simple home Bible study series.